This week's mailbag comes to us from V. I thought it was a hoot of what was allowed to stay open in California during our safer at home ruling. They are dry cleaners and laundromats. Lisa would be proud to know that at a time of crises, they are seen as just as important as hospitals, gas, and grocery stores. Thus, I have great comfort in knowing my laundry service that I hired, per Lisa's suggestion, should be another part of my system that will hold up. My husband is flabbergasted how calm I am and prepared we are. And it's all because I've been making and improving processes and systems over the past few years with Lisa as the cheerleader. I'm like most parents right now, having to figure out working from home and now homeschooling on the fly. Sadly, knowing my sitters probably won't be allowed to come over to assist, because with the new California ruling, it seems that they could be fined or get a misdemeanor. Oh well, we're all slogging through this the best we can, and yes, we are making progress. So everyone in California, if your dry cleaner offers fixing and alterations, and if it's safe for you to go out, you can go get that task done.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, this is unfortunate. As you can imagine, I record my podcast episodes weeks in advance, and actually it has taken me 5 years before I've gotten to the point where I am 6 to 8 weeks in advance of recording my podcast episodes, which makes Mary, our content editor, and Amanda, our podcast producer, super, super happy. Mary is an ICU nurse in Chicago, so she needs to be able to listen to the podcast episodes whenever it fits into her schedule. And Amanda homeschools her kids and is currently traveling around the United States, although they have stopped in one location during the pandemic. So both of them work for Organized 365 in the nooks and crannies of their day. And so out of respect, I try to get my podcast episodes to them as soon as possible. And when we recorded these podcast episodes for April about how to plan a big project, I used the examples that I was planning in the beginning of March, which was Abby's graduation party, probably not going to happen. I mentioned planning a wedding a couple of times. I know many of you have weddings on the calendar that are being canceled or rescheduled or being done with less than 10 people in attendance. I talk about moving, which is getting really hard to do right now as we are all at the current time of this recording in social distancing. And some of us are in a state where we are not allowed to interact at all. And I also talk about planning fun activities for your kids this summer and signing up for camps, which seems like such a dream now, doesn't it? We are going to go ahead and air these podcast episodes because how you plan a big project didn't change just because how we're living our life today changed. And I've been doing my podcast for over 5 years, and I know that many of you go all the way back to the beginning and listen through those podcast episodes, and you know much of what I said 5.5 years ago isn't as applicable today, but the principles of organizing never change. Once you learn the skill of organizing, which many of us did not learn as kids, it takes learning and skill to develop organization and then the productivity that comes from organization. This is how I do it. This is how I break down a huge project into multiple steps. And over the course of April, you're going to follow along as well. I really hope that I do not trigger you by talking about graduation parties or weddings or planning summer vacations that may have gotten canceled. The only counsel I can give you is that this is just 1 year in time. And while, yes, this is Abby's senior year and this is her graduation party, it will forever be remembered, right? Like, her graduation party will be remembered way more than Joey's in the year of the global pandemic. I am trying to provide as much real-time encouragement, motivation, perspective, love as possible. It's easier for me to do that through social media than through the podcast, although I'm trying, and we're even putting up bonus podcasts if they're a Facebook Live that's resonated with a lot of people. We would love for you to join our Facebook community. Just search Organize 365 and find the group and ask to join and answer the few questions there. And if you want to see how I'm handling this as a wife, as a mother, as a CEO, as a puzzle lover, as a dog owner, follow me on Instagram. I share a lot more in my Instagram stories than I do even in Facebook or on the podcast. We are in this together. Many of us are now together at home, and now you're looking around thinking, ooh, I really need to get this home organized. Organize 365 is still shipping out products, but most of what we have is digital. So when you place your order, you'll get the digital assets right away. And we've cut our shipping down to 1 to 2 days a week just to minimize the number of people in the office. And we just have one or two people go in and do that shipping so that we maintain our social distancing as well. We will all get through this together. I hope you enjoy these podcast episodes. And again, I'm sorry that the projects that I was talking about are no longer projects that we are currently planning. Well, here we are at step 3 of accomplishing your project or goal. And we're finally going to do some planning. And this is where most people start. Most people sit down and they say, okay, I have this goal that I want to achieve, and I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to put it on the calendar, and I'm going to get it done. And hopefully, by listening to the last two podcasts, you can see where both the act of creating a container for your ideas, emptying your brain onto those physical pieces of paper, and then also taking those and ordering them into slash pockets and kind of chunking that, is going to make this part of the process easier. Way, way, way easier. And also, if you're doing it real time, the separation of time from creating the box to making the slash pockets to now putting it on your calendar and making the time is the game changer. You could do all of this in one sitting. It is not as effective as if you do it over a course of a couple of days. So I hope that that gives some of you more peace, knowing that you do not need to do this goal setting project thing all at once. I actually find it to be more beneficial to do it over the course of a couple of days, which means that if you have a big graduation party and you can set aside 1 hour every night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, to do each of these podcasts, I think you're going to be better off than if you take 3 hours and do it on one day. Why? Why? 3 hours? 3 hours is 3 hours, Lisa. Why the difference? Our brains are amazing. They are so amazing. This is the way my brain works, but I think that when you become a more organized and productive person, I think your brain starts to work this way as well. So step one is to get one box and brain dump all of the ideas that you have in your head for whatever goal and project that you have. That was our first podcast. Let's say you do that. You grab an extra Sunday basket that you have laying around. You grab a stack of index cards. You're like, fine, I don't know how this is supposed to work, but I'm just going to do it anyway. Okay, we're going to plan summer. We're going to take a trip to Florida. I want them to go to this camp. I'd like to go visit this local staycation. You know, I would like to teach my kids to tie their shoes, whatever it is. Everything that you've been thinking about that you would like to do this summer, you throw it in that box and you go to bed. Get up the next day, you do whatever you do the next day. Now it's after dinner and you have one more hour and you're going to go through these summer plans. Here's what happened in the last 24 hours. Your brain took a deep breath because it was able to get all of the ideas it's been saving up there for you, for the kids, for the summer, out of its active working to-do list onto paper, and you freed up some mental cognition while still thinking about summer. And along the way, you might have heard something on the radio or in a podcast or as you were going through your calendar or your email or someone texted you that reminded you, oh, yeah, that's right. They were in that space camp. I forgot about space camp. Or you see something on a podcast and they say, I really started to lose weight and it was because I drank 8 glasses of water a day. And you thought, you know what? That is something I could do next summer. We need to drink more water around here. And so when you come back to making those slash pockets, which is step 2, with just that 24-hour break where your brain has been emptied of being a to-do list for what needs to be done in the summer and has been given the capacity to start thinking about the summer plan on a bigger plan, you may add 1, 2, or 3 index cards. And while that seems like nothing, you're like, well, big whoop-de-doo. If I don't add the water card, this is not a really big deal. Or I would have figured out the space camp thing anyway if I kept going. Yes, maybe. But it would have been in a more anxiety and overwhelmed state. Whereas now your brain is thinking of more things that we could be doing and adding into the mix while we're in this processing stage. So step two, you take all of those ideas and you're dividing them out into these slash pockets, as in these are different parts that need to be completed in order to have the project done. And when you come back, you may look at, let's say you're looking at those graduation slash pockets, and you were overwhelmed by the fact that you need to have this memory table. And you went on Pinterest that morning and you looked at what some people's memory tables look at. So you have a little bit more to actually put in that slash pocket. And you're thinking, well, you know, some people have every single photo of their child in photo albums, and they have like 5 photo albums out at their graduation party. But I also went to a graduation party last year that was really cool, and it was a nice slim book that just had like the best 30 pictures ever of their child. And it just started in the beginning, it went to the end. It wasn't like a 45-minute slideshow that you couldn't watch. Like, you could literally grab some popcorn, watch the slideshow in 3 minutes, and move on to conversations. And I liked that. Like, that's good enough for our family. That matches our family. I have 5 kids. I have to do this 5 times. That's a realistic expectation for me. So your brain, between the day that you started the box and you go back to make the slash pockets, has started to make some prioritization decisions and some customizations as to how your family does a move, how your family does a party, how your family plans a summer. So now you've separated them out into slash pockets. Go to bed again, get up, do your day. And as you're thinking about these slash pockets, you're like, you know, she's right. I have got to really, what is our goal for doing our house for this graduation party? Like, I now realize we don't have enough time. So we have 4 more graduations coming up. When do we want to do these things? Or do we want to do them at all? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your brain is being moved from a to-do list, task, checker, offer, to the amazing computer that it is, that can think big picture, that can think long term, that can take into concern aspects of like, oh, you know what she didn't even mention in her graduation thing? Like, my family's coming in from a different country and they're going to be here for a month. And I have to figure out what I'm going to do with them when they're here and where I'm going to house them. And I need to get those authentic foods back in our house because we don't eat that way, but we're going to eat that way when mom's here. And that's not something I would even think about when I'm planning a graduation party. So your brain is going to start to think about the actual people in your family and how you do these things. Time. The best thing you can give your brain and yourself is time. And while these are big projects and these are big goals and we get overwhelmed and we get anxious about them, the more your brain has the ability to think about the true goal and project and less about the actionable to-dos, the more it is going to help you in prioritizing. So we are to step 3. Step 3, we've divided our ideas into slash pockets, and I hope you heard in this little example that I gave that you're going to continue to refine, have new ideas, have things that you want to try, and just like in the Sunday basket, you're going to write all those ideas down and throw them in your project box. And then when you sit down to work in your project box, the first thing you will do is read through all these new ideas you have and then sort them into the appropriate slash pockets. Now we're to, what do we do with the slash pockets? This is true prioritization and planning time. This is how you're going to make a plan of how are you going to get all of this done. This is when you are going to time block and add things onto your calendar. If you have not read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, I highly suggest it. It's a great book. I intuitively did a lot of what was already in that book, but I quote the deciding question from that book all the time, which is, what is the one thing I can do such that by doing it makes everything else easier or unnecessary? So when we go through the Sunday basket, the one question you ask at the end of your Sunday basket session is, when you touch every slash pocket and everything that's going back in your box, can this wait till Sunday? Can this wait till Sunday? Can this wait till Sunday? If it can wait until Sunday, it must wait until Sunday. Why must it? Well, it must because if it's not so important that it has to be done before next Sunday, we need the time and the bandwidth to handle the things that do have to be done before next Sunday and to give us margin for the things we don't know are going to happen this week, and we have to be able to handle those before next Sunday. So the rule for the Sunday basket is if it can wait until next Sunday, it must wait until next Sunday. I love rules like this because it helps me say, that's great, I could do that, but I don't have to do that, so I'm going to let it go. Similarly, this question is, what is the one thing such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? The beauty of this question in this step of the process is you are going to look at your slash pockets and you are going to do what Greg and I did 2 years ago. And you are going to say, that is fantastic that we wanted to have a deck, but we do not have the time or the money to have a deck. So we are not going to put the expectation on ourselves that we are going to have a deck before we have this graduation party. So, what was the one thing that we could do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? Do you know how much time and money I took off my plate when we both looked at each other and said, no deck right now? All that came out of the slash pocket. It went back in the Sunday basket because I still do want to have a deck on this house someday, eventually. And my graduation box just became less. My anxiety reduced and my overwhelm reduced because I didn't have to find the time and the money and the person and put the dog in daycare. And all of that deck was going to take me not only a lot of time and money, but probably 80 hours to get done in order. And you say, how, you're not building the deck. How could it take you 80 hours? Yeah, but somebody's building the deck and he's not doing it in 5 hours. He's going to be here for 1 week at least. So that's at least 40 hours he's going to be at my house. We have to get permits. You have to take the dog to daycare. You know, we don't realize how much time decisions cost us. So by deciding we were not going to get the deck, I eliminated it, made it so much easier and unnecessary in order to do a lot of other work. So let's go through this question. What is the one thing that you can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary with each of our big projects? And then we're going to go to time blocking. For the summer plan, the first thing that is going to make everything in that box easier or unnecessary is to decide how much money you have to spend on summer activities for your kids. For us, I'm trying to remember exactly, it was always at least $1,000 per child, which we never had, but there really was no way to do it for less than that for like swim lessons and a week or two of camp and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So I figured out my budget. Once I figured out my budget, then everything in that box became easier or unnecessary because if it was like a $2,000 camp, it just went out of the box. Like that wasn't even in the realm of possibility. So why even Google it or figure out if we're available that week because we totally can't afford it. Or if it was an overnight camp that was never successful for our children. So those, again, immediately out of the box, those were irrelevant and unnecessary. We only went to Florida in the summer, which I know we're very blessed to be able to go to Florida every summer where Greg's dad lives. But any other travel other than to my hometown of Akron, Ohio was unnecessary. So if it was a travel that was not like a day trip that I could get there and get back in one day, that was not going to happen. So immediately all these ideas that I had picked up, I thought, oh, maybe that's a possibility. I just eliminated based on budgetary constraints. Another one is, so anything that makes it easier or unnecessary, I then would call my kids' best friends. They had a couple of best friends. What are you doing this summer? And I would find out what they were doing so that we could sign up for those camps or those activities together and know that they would have some friends there. Doing that, again, eliminated some other opportunities that I had found that wouldn't be with their friends, so I didn't have to go down that rabbit trail. How does that work for graduation? I kind of already alluded to that when I said about the scrapbooks. Are you going to do every single photo printed and in scrapbooks? Are you going to do a 3-minute slideshow, a 45-minute slideshow? Like, what is it that you are going to do for this child and the subsequent children? Always think that. Like, this child you could do this for. Can you do it for all of your children? I try to make things as even as possible. I only have two, so it's not that difficult. I will tell you when Joey was 18 months, we adopted Abby. And when Abby was 6 months old, Greg took Joey, who was two, down to Florida to see his dad, and I had the weekend alone with Abby. And I did a photo shoot that weekend, and I captured in photos a lot of the things that I had captured for Joey, our firstborn, naturally. I went through all of his scrapbooks, and I made a list of every single thing that we had taken a photo of in his first year of life. And anything that I had missed, I took that weekend so that her scrapbooks are not quite as large as his scrapbooks, but they're close. And almost everything that we captured in photos for Joey, we then captured in photos for Abby. I was very, very purposeful on my part, which is good because she compares. Thank goodness I did that. I'm only saying that because as you're creating new things, the first time you do something, you're like, oh, I could do all of these things. But if you have four children, you know, upgrading your house for a graduation party will benefit all four children. But if you go overboard on something with the first graduation, it's going to be expected down the line. Like, so for birthdays, this is just totally random. Our kids buy what they want. Like, our kids are very blessed. They have a whole bunch of stuff. And Joey's birthday is directly after Christmas. He's a January baby. And so he's now 19. And you know what teenagers want? Cash. They always want cash. So we did the 18th birthday party. We did all the birthday parties. And when Joey turned 19, we took him out to dinner and we said, from here on out, you will get cash for your birthday and this will be the dollar amount. And now he knows and we know. And that may seem like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't get him some special blah, blah, blah. I thought, yes, but I've created a rule for myself. I know how much cash I'm giving. They know how much cash to expect on their birthday. Abby doesn't know because she's turning 19 this summer, but she will find out and she'll be equally as ecstatic because, I mean, cash is great. Cash is king. You can do whatever you want with cash. And then I can go nuts at Christmas and all the cute little fun things that I want to buy them. And so it just, you know, what you do for one, you can do for all is a rule that I kind of have in business, with clients, with, I learned it in direct sales with my kids. Like when you do something, is it replicatable? Is it duplicatable? And that makes everything easier. So when you are going to do the 40th birthday for the first person that turns 40 in your family, remember, a whole bunch of other people are going to turn 40 in that family as well. So how can you duplicate that and replicate that? All right, so what is one thing such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary when you are moving? So establishing two boxes instead of one is going to make everything easier and unnecessary. You're not going to be in your new house box looking for your old house contract with the realtor. You're not going to be in your old house box looking for the manual for your new microwave. So the simple act of having a second box, one for the old house and one for the new house, is going to make so much simpler or unnecessary because you're going to have two of everything. And so you'll be in the right box. Simple, simple, teeny tiny things that you decide like that will save you 10 hours over the course of this project. Again, looking at your budget, often your budget will determine what things you can make simpler or unnecessary. So we here at Organize 365 leased a new warehouse and we are moving. And one of my employees came up to me and she said, so how much of this are we moving and when are we moving in our car? And I looked at her, I said, none of it. And she goes, what about the pictures on the wall? I'm like, well, if you want to put them in your car, that's fine. But I've hired a moving company. And when I leased the new warehouse, and in the past, we moved everything ourselves. But when I leased the new warehouse, and I look at what my employees are doing inside of the company, it does not benefit me or them or you to pull them out of their capacity in their employee position to turn them into moving people for a day to save us, like, what? It's going to cost me either way. So one thing that's going to make it easier or unnecessary is we hired a moving company. And we hired a moving company for all the new furniture when it comes in to assemble it as well. So in my budget for moving to the new warehouse, I added a lot of money for support to come in and build the shelving in the new warehouse, to physically move us from the old warehouse to the new warehouse, to get new computers and all the IT set up before we move, because I mentioned on Instagram the other day that we're hiring quite a few people. So when you hire quite a few people, you're going to need more computers, right? So if I'm going to need more computers anyway, doesn't it make sense to buy the new computers and set them up ahead of time in the new warehouse so that the existing employees can literally leave their office on a Wednesday night and show up Thursday morning at the new office and just log in with their Google account on their new computer and they're up and running. And then we move the old computers next and the new employees get the old. You see what I'm saying? Like, everything we do is digital. Very little is saved on your original hard drive. Or you could take, there's so many things that I can do through outside contractors that will make it easier or unnecessary for my employees to do very much during the move. When you're talking about moving your own house, what is your budget? And how can you use that budget to make so many things easier or unnecessary? So if you're getting drapes, have the drapes measured and cut and hung for you where you don't have to do any of that. But that's a huge expense. So if you want to do your own, hang up your own drapes and your own, what are these things called? Leveler blinds. In your own blinds, you will save a ton of money. I do not put anything in straight. I'm off level is all I have to say. I've hung every picture in this house. I have hung every single leveler blind that has been in our house. I DIY'd it all. It is definitely not perfect. And it takes a lot of time. So it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. I have also painted every room in this house, except when I hired our bedroom to be painted. And I will tell you, I never want to paint a room again. Now what I see, what a professional can do painting wise, I'm like, oh, I will do this over here so I can have them do that over there. You can't do it all yourself. You're not building your own house. Like, you're going to be hiring people for some things, for moving, or maybe you're like, you know what? I really don't have any budget at all in this moving thing, but do you have like $150 and you can have a company come in and deep clean that house for you before you move in, but you're physically going to do all the moving yourself, but you don't have to do the cleaning. See what I'm saying? Like, really think every single thing on that list. How can you maximize the budget that you have so that your time and energy is done the best? Now, let's say you love to clean. Like, you can't wait to get in there and nest and clean your house. That cleaning is the funnest part of the move for you because you are making sure that this is clean for your new family and you're just seeing every little nook and cranny of the house and you love, love, love doing that. But you hate lifting things that are really, really heavy. Great. I am sure there is some kind of football team or dance troupe or whatever that needs to earn money for their camp. And you can pay them $150 or $200 for however many hours that will buy you, and they will move all of your heaviest things for you because you would rather do the cleaning and have them do the heavy lifting. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be that you need to have $10,000 to hire a moving company so you can sit back and eat bonbons. What is the thing that gives you energy? And what is the thing that you don't want to do, and how do you get the thing you don't want to do paid for so that you have more time to do the thing you want to do? Because you can't do it all. You physically can't do it all. Unless you'd like to take that part-time moving job to a full-time moving job, and then you can do it all, and it will take more time. Oh, wow. We're already 20 minutes in. I didn't even tell you how to time block. Okay, so far what we have said is, now that we're looking at our slash pockets, we're looking at all of our slash pockets related to our project and our goal, and we are trying to figure out how can we either decide this isn't going to be done as part of this goal, so we are modifying the scope of the project or goal we're doing. How can we bring in outside expertise or hire some things out, which will help us get some of this time off of the list? And now we're down with what we need to do. So in the case of a graduation party, pretty much all of that you're going to do yourself. There's very little you're going to hire out for a graduation party, right? So great, Lisa, I eliminated nothing off my list. But I'm hoping these different ways of thinking about things, like even as much as like if you're going to be doing so much for the graduation party, can you pay $40 to the dry cleaner to do your laundry for you that week so that you have extra time so that you can work on the slideshow? Like, there's only so much time. We have more time than we think. I agree with Laura Vanderkam on that, but we also only have so much time. Like, you literally do need to give yourself some breathing room. So the next thing that we are going to do in this is, now that you're down to what's left on your slash pockets that need to be done, we need to block the time in order for that slash pocket to be done on our calendar. You may say, oh, I don't want to take that extra step. I'm just going to put in 3 or 5 hours right now. I'm just going to knock it out. And if you're planning your summer, you probably are going to be able to do that. And you're going to say, see, Lisa, I told you I could do it. But if you're planning a big party or you're moving, you can't. You're not going to be able to get all of those slash pockets done in the next 3 to 5 hours. And remember, we're learning the skill of productivity, of being able to, this is just the first project and goal you're doing this way of hundreds that you're going to do in the rest of your life. So while you may be able to give me 3 to 5 hours and pretty much knock out this entire box, that's not the skill we're learning. The skill we're learning is how do we take this project and goal, incorporate it into our calendar and our life so that it gets accomplished and I can repeat and repeat and repeat this process. So I'm going to leave you with this. Take a look at, I'm going to use the graduation party because that one has the most finite date on it. You're listening to this in the middle of April. If you have a graduation party, is the end of May or the beginning of June, you have 6 weeks. Or think about a project that you would like to be done in the next 6 weeks, an end of year party, baby shower that you're doing, vacation that you're having this summer, something like that, a project that you could do in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And then I want you to actually look at your calendar for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And where can you start to plug in the time and time block the slash pockets that you've created? So you have to create an invitation, a guest list, and mail out those invites. Creating the invitation, whether you do it digitally and order it, that's probably going to take, what, an hour? Go on your calendar and put in a time block that says create graduation invitation. Then you need to go out another, let's say 10 days later, and you need to put another time block on your calendar that says address and send invitations. And depending on how many you're sending, that's going to be an hour to 90 minutes. Put that on your calendar. Okay, house. I do this, you guys. You're going to be like, wow, she uses her calendar a lot. Yes. If you talk to people that are highly productive, they use their calendar like all the time. Like everything's on their calendar. And you may feel like, I don't want to be that scheduled. I don't want to be that regimented. I don't want everything dictated to me. Nothing's dictated to me. I dictate to my time how it's going to be spent, and I end up with these awesome projects and goals done. So you might need some, if you're thinking that thought, because I used to think that thought too, that is a mental mindset shift that just needs to change. It's not that you're allocating all of your Netflix and Facebook time in the future, or your ability to go take a walk with your dog or spontaneously go have lunch with friends. You can move these calendar blocks. But these calendar blocks show you that really, if you want to have a graduation party, your time is already accounted for. Let's figure out where we want that to be in our week. So I literally will put on my calendar Saturday morning for like an hour, talk with Greg about household projects. And I'll grab the household slash pocket and I'll sit down and be like, okay, we're having the graduation party. Do we want to get the carpets cleaned? What about furniture? What about, you know, like, and I put a time block on our calendar and it was like 3 hours where we went out and we actually shopped for furniture. Like, it doesn't happen magically. You have to put it on your calendar. Party items. So you might want to put on your calendar, shop for party supplies. We had to put on our calendar, like go out and research food options. Like each of these slash pockets is an amount of time. Do you need to do it on your own? Can it be done at night? Does it need to be done during business hours? Can it be done on the weekend? Where can you do these slash pockets? And this is very eye-opening. You're going to start to realize that a lot of these projects and goals, the reason they haven't gotten done is A, you don't have time on your calendar to do the time blocking, and B, more likely, you had no idea that it really takes 40 hours to plan a graduation party. You thought it was like, you know, get the invitations, send them out, and get some pizzas. No, it's a significant amount of time. And that's why you feel rushed. That's why you feel overwhelmed, because you haven't blocked it out on your calendar. I'm going to give you this week to go ahead with that little bit of information, and then I'm going to really deep dive next week on how do you truly flesh this out on your calendar, how do you move things, how do you do your index card for the day.